You're in the right room. I know that's a little dim. Don't worry, the rest of the slides are fine. Here's my goals. I want to talk about Query Store. I'm very excited about the Query Store. Really am. And there are people who say, oh, Grant, you get excited about anything. But I get excited about certain things. Query Store is amazing. It's going to change the way we do query tuning. It's going to do the way we do monitoring. It's going to change the way we respond to regressions and queries, changes to service packs, cumulative updates, upgrades, and deadlocks. It's going to rearrange the way we handle a whole bunch of stuff. So hopefully I can hit these goals, communicate some of what gets me excited about it, how it works, and kind of how you use it and what it does. My name is Grant Fritchie. I work for Redgate Software. This is my contact information. I'm not going to put up all this stuff about, you know, how many years I've been in the industry and where I've worked and all this stuff. No one cares. You want some information, I want to try to provide it to you. If you don't get everything you need today, you've got the contact information you need to give to send me an email, and I will try to help you out. If you've got questions, send me a tweet, send me an email, go to my blog, and I'll try to help out. This is London. And we can think of London as our database. It may not be the prettiest database in the world, but it's basically functional. It's doing what it needs to do. It's getting by. Your database is about to have a bad day. Things go wrong. Now, Microsoft refers to the Query Store as the flight data recorder. I'm not sure I agree with that. Now, when this happens, do you really want to just know why? I mean, yeah, okay, that'd be handy, it'd be useful, it'd be good to know, you know, what happened? Why did this happen? But really, I'd like to have an undo button. I don't want my database to stay in the state that it is after that meteor hits it. I would really, really, really like to be able to undo. And the thing is Query Store gives us that capability. It gives us both. We've got a flight data recorder, and we've got an undo button, and that's pretty cool. Just so you know, I want to bring this out right up front because I'm very excited about it. A week and a half ago, Microsoft announced the release date for SQL Server. It's going to be June 1. Cool. And they announced all the features and which of the versions the features are going to be in. Query Store, all of them. All of them. Down to Express. This tool is available for us, and it's going to be great. So please, please, please look at it. Try it out. And we're going to talk about it some more. So Query Store, what is it? Two things. First off, it's a plan store. Has anyone here looked at execution plans before? Not counting the people who were in my session yesterday. Cool. So most of the room has looked at execution plans. Awesome. Wouldn't you love to know if that query you have had more than one execution plan? Wouldn't you love to know that the query you're looking at, maybe it had a better execution plan at some point in time? That's what this is. It's a collection of execution plans per query. Great stuff. But it gets better. Not only does the query have the plan and multiple plans stored, but you also get runtime statistics. What was the last runtime? What's the average runtime? How much CPU does this use on average? What's the standard deviation? Yeah, standard deviation. Microsoft's getting into analytics. They're capturing the analytics for us. All of it, all that runtime information is getting captured inside the Query Store. Now, this whole unit is what the Query Store is, but it works with the normal query optimization process. Within memory, it captures the plans that get generated by your query optimization. So you pass a query in, it goes to the optimizer spits out an execution plan. Awesome. Asynchronously, in memory, that plan is captured. At some point, it is stored off to disk. But the impact on your system is extremely low because it is asynchronous. Yes, this is going to add some overhead to your memory. Yes, this is going to add some overhead to your disk. But it's a huge win, and it is an asynchronous process, so it's wonderful. After the query gets executed, just like normal, a secondary asynchronous process captures those runtime statistics. Again, spitting them out to memory initially, and then writing them off to disk. It's a really simple process. It's not crazy. It's acting at a very low level within the system. It's not interfering. It's not a blocking process. It's not going to prevent normal operation of your system by and large. Granted, nothing is ever free. So there is a cost associated with this. The published cost from Microsoft is around 1%. They don't say 1% of what, but it's around 1%. My own personal experience with it, because I have been running this for well over a year in a production environment, which I'll talk about in just a second. And I have seen no impact so far on my production environment. Any questions on just the basic operation? Let's talk about the data that it collects. So you have the plan store views. There's three of them. There's a couple others that I'm not going to mention. And they collect a whole bunch of standard information. You get the query store text, you know, the query text. Has anyone wrote T-SQL before? Anybody? Half the room, okay. I'm not sure why the other half is here, but yeah. You do capture the basic T-SQL text. You get the SQL handle. Yay. And then you also get the query ID stored inside of the query store. Object ID, so you can hook it back to any kind of store procedures or functions or whatever else is associated with. You've got the query hash, so you can still get the query fingerprint, start time, last execution time, average compile time, which is a huge win. We also get the plan ID, the engine version, which matters, the compatibility level, which matters a lot. Does everyone know that in 2014 there was a new cardinality estimator? Not even half the room. Cool. Let me ask this question. I didn't ask. Who here predominantly today is on 2008 or less? Okay, about a third of the room. 2012? Whoa. Okay, most of the room. 2014? Maybe a third. 2016 in production? Anybody? Yeah, me neither. Okay, cool. Azure SQL Database. Please, hands, go up real high for this one, because I really care. 2, 3. Okay, wow, that makes me sad. Okay, we'll talk some more about that in a second. This compatibility level really matters. You also get the query plan hash. Again, just like the query hash, a big part of the fingerprint. The query plan itself, whether or not the thing is a trivial plan, whether or not it's a natively compiled plan, all of this stuff and more is collected all around the plan itself, just the plan. This is thrilling stuff because it's a collection of performance metrics we've never had before, or we had to go out and build ourselves or hope that whatever third-party tool we were using built it for us. Now it's right in. It's free with the product, and it's pretty amazing. We also get the runtime stats. So not only get the plans, but we get the runtime stats. And the runtime stats are the kind of stuff you would expect. How many times did it execute? What was the average duration? What was the standard deviation on that duration? And I am so excited to be capturing the standard deviations. I'm getting very much into, you know, there were all these apologies this morning for people, I don't speak Polish. I am learning a new language. It's not Polish, it's R, but I'm trying. I'm very excited about standard deviations. I'm very excited about CPU time, minimum CPU time. I'm very excited about max row count, average degree of parallelism, I/O, physical, more and more and more, and all this stuff is available for you, captured for you to analyze your queries associated with the plan. So when you say this query was running fast and now it's running slow, you can look at the plan to see the two and look at the behavior between the two. It's great. This is a game changer. And we get this little stats interval thing. It's something you can set, and it basically, it collects these stats and aggregates them over an interval every 10 minutes by default. Make it every 15 if it makes you happy. So where does this thing live? Absolutely lives on 2016. It's coming out, in 2 weeks. it's been an Azure SQL database for over a year, well over a year. So the three people and me who have production versions of Azure SQL database, we've been using it, or at least had it available to use. And trust me when I tell you, it's awesome. Now, demos today that I'm going to go through, and I will go through a bunch of demos showing you guys some various stuff. I'm going to show you mainly T-SQL. Why? Because I've been working with Azure and working with T-SQL with QueryStore for over a year. The GUI is fairly recent, and I'm just not that familiar with it, frankly. So I'll show you a lot more T-SQL. We'll flash through the GUI a little bit, but primarily we're going to stay inside of T-SQL. Also, a good chunk of the room had 2014, right? If you look inside 2014, you're going to see the dynamic management views for QueryStore. They're in there. There's no data. They're not activated. It doesn't seem to be working. But the guts are already in 2014. And so I'm curious, with all the new work coming out of the Tiger team, I don't have any knowledge. I'm not violating NDA. I'm just speculating wildly. But the way the Tiger team is working now inside of Microsoft, that they're moving some aspects of some technologies down from new versions of SQL Server to solve problems in previous versions, I'm honestly curious whether or not we might get this in 2014 too. Fingers crossed. Everyone send positive thoughts. We're on channel 9, so honestly, I just don't know, but you know, could be cool. So what do you control? We got a basic idea what it's going to collect. It's going to collect our plans, multiple plans. It's going to collect all of our runtime stats. But what can we control? Well, obviously, we can turn it on and off. Now, let me emphasize this as much as I possibly can. It is a database-by-database thing. You turn it on for a database. You turn it off for a database. It's off by default on 2016 and in Azure, I'm pretty sure. But you turn it on per database. It is not a server-level setting. Everyone nod your heads. Database. Okay. Because the question comes up over and over again. You can control how long it takes to flush to disk. So we all know it captures out asynchronously into memory, and then it flushes out to disk. You can actually make it flush faster or slower, depending on your system. You'll have to experiment with that. You can set the size of the storage. By default, it's 100 megs. You can adjust it up or down. By the way, that storage, primary file group. And I know some of you are going, but it can't go in my primary file group. Tough. That's where it's going. So if you need to make some adjustments there, you'll have to make some adjustments there. You can adjust how many days are stored. By default, 367, so it's a full year plus 2 days. And then accounting for a leap year. You get to adjust the plans per query. Now, this is interesting. I've actually met one person that this was going to be useful for. The default on the plans per query is 200. Who has 200 plans per any single query? Yeah, me neither. Who has 10? Nobody. Okay, cool. You might want to adjust that down. I mean, I'm sure it's not hurting you, but it's interesting. I did meet one person in the times I've been teaching this now who had one query for real had 300 plans. And he said, "Yeah, Microsoft didn't know how I did it." So it's kind of cool. It does have an automated cleanup process. You can adjust. It has a capture mode that you can adjust, and the capture mode is fun. And worth mentioning, because the capture mode by default is read-write, and that's great. But what it's capturing is all of them. Now, let's say, is anyone here use Optimize for Ad Hoc? Anybody? Who here doesn't know what Optimize for Ad Hoc is and is going, what are you talking about, Grant? Okay, a few people. Let me give a real quick recap on Optimize for Ad Hoc. If you have a lot of dynamic queries, ad hoc queries, you can use Optimize for Ad Hoc, and then it will not store the plan in cache. It will simply store a plan stub. Cool. Reduces your thrash in cache, less stuff going in and out. Great, we win. With QueryStore, it will store all those plans unless you tell it, hey, by the way, only store plans that have been used multiple times. And then what will happen is it will store the plans after it gets reused, just like Optimize for Ad Hoc. So if you have Optimize for Ad Hoc enabled, you want to make sure you go in and change the capture mode. And then we also get the aggregation interval length. Remember that thing, 10 minutes by default? We can change that too. So we capture the queries, we capture the execution plan, duration, CPU, compile time, and we capture the execution plans. Now, it is what's called an estimated plan. But I hate this terminology, estimated and actual, because it's not accurate, frankly. An actual plan is simply an estimated plan with some runtime statistics. So the plan that's captured is the plan that was used by the engine. So it isn't, quote, actual plan. It just does not have runtime statistics. So in terms of what you're used to seeing, it's going to look like what is called the estimated plan. Everyone okay with that? Cool. All right, let's switch over and play with code for a little bit. So turning Query Store on is really hard. Brutal, right? I mean, and you have to reboot the database. Come on, that was a joke. Who's rebooted a database? No. You don't have to reboot the server, you don't have to do anything. It just works. So if we run this query, this is a very, very simple query. Let me get it highlighted. I'm going as query store and query store text. I'm pulling back the query ID, the text ID, and the SQL text. Now, I turned this on yesterday. So you're going to see all the stuff that we were running during our session yesterday and more. Monitoring products and other stuff are all running on here. So you can see I'm capturing all these different queries. And you'll see there's queries are listed more than once, but that's because there are changes, subtle changes sometimes, to the query itself. Now, if we go back over here, we can turn the query store off. I'm not going to because I don't want to. However, let's just for you, I will. Okay? We'll turn query store off, and I'm going to run that same query again. And you'll note the results come back, all the information is still there. Just because you turn query store off, the data does not go away. That's a win. This data is persisted to the disk. It is stored with your database. Now, the question's going to come up. Well, Grant, does that mean it's in the backup? Yes. Does that mean it's in my restore? Yes. Now, get excited. That means that if you back up your production database, restore it down to your dev teams, they get to see the query metrics, the execution plans from your production system. Huzzah! Now get freaked, because they also get to see if you've got ad hoc or dynamic queries passing in, I don't know, client-patient information. They get to see that too. Wait, that's not a huzzah moment, is it? So we have some issues. We've got some excitement, and we've got some extra work. Now, the extra work is taken care of. I'm not going to run that one right now. The extra work is by you can clear out Query Store. Alter database, set Query Store clear, and that will remove stuff. You can also individually remove plans. You can individually remove queries. I'll show you that in a little bit. Let me turn it back on so we can keep playing. The devs in the room have to be excited. No? God. I am. But everyone says I get excited easily, so I believe it. So you can see I can run a query, and I can see my current status. It's in read-write. I've got a flush interval of 900 seconds. My interval length is 60 minutes. My max storage is 100 megs, which is the default. My interval days is 367, which is the default. You can query to see all these things. And I still have the max plan set to 200, even though I've never seen anything near this number. But you can query to get all this information yourself. Modifying it is simple. Alter database, set query store. I can make my max storage go up to 200. I could drop my plans per query down to 20, which seems like a more reasonable number for me. Not that I care if it's storing 200, since I'll never get there, but if I want to limit it, I can. Also, if you're planning reboots, if it crashes, you could lose data. It goes to memory, and it gets flushed to disk. If it doesn't get flushed to disk and you get a crash, you could lose some of the information. But if you're planning reboots, run this, SP Query Store Flush DB, it will then write it out to disk.
But Grant, we got like a bunch of servers.
Hey, PowerShell's your buddy. Script it. Okay. It says back to slides, but I don't think we're gonna go back to slides just yet. Let's run this query. And let's go ahead and capture the actual execution plan. So the results come back on this query, it's 400 rows, you guys don't care. And the execution plan looks like this. It's a merge join, a couple of index scans, and a suggested missing index. By the way, that is suggested. If anybody's going through and scripting out every one of these automatically, stop. Okay. So that's the plan. You've seen it. Remember it. Got it all memorized? Okay. Now, if we want to, we can select from Query Store, pull all the information back, just like I did before. And we get back a lot of data. Like I said, the batch handle, the query hash, is internal query. If there's parameterization, what kind of parameterization's occurred? And you see down here, even, we've got some that have been simple parameterized. Simple parameterization. Marked off, and you can query your system to see if it's happening. If there's forced parameterization going on, it's going to be marked off, and you can see that it's happening inside your system. Nobody's getting excited. I expected people to have lighters out, going like this. Okay. You get to see the last time it was run. You get to see when it got created, when it got put into the cache. I mean, all this great data keeps coming out of this. And so then you start to put together more complex query. Give me the handle. Give me the object ID. Give me the type. Give me the last execution time. Give me the number of times it's been compiled. Oh, wait, I can track recompiles. I don't have to do that through trace. Well, I'm not using trace anymore. I'm using extended events, right? Lie to me. Yes, good. The optimized duration, the compile duration, I get to track how long this thing's gone through optimization. It's tracked. It's not something I have to try to dig and find and monitor. It's tracked. How long did this query take to optimize? You know, is this 56 table join slower than my 20 table join? It might not be. Is this 86 table join slower than my 56 table join? In my case, oh, hell yes. But, you know, it's going to be up to you to find out this stuff. You get to track it now, and you get to put these together. Better still, we get to combine it, if we want to, with existing metrics. So in this case, I'm joining up the system exec query stats. Is anybody using the DMVs right now for any kind of query monitoring, query tuning? You know, hooking into to Atom Mechanics, SP Who is Active? Nobody? Come on. Okay, maybe half the room. The other half is lying to me. Okay, that's awesome. You can hook all of this stuff back in. There's not, you're not dependent on, well, if I turn on Query Store, I can't look at the DMVs anymore. No, the DMVs are still there, still accessible. You get additional tooling. This is not a separate thing. This is not a replacement tool. This is additional tooling. This is exciting stuff. This changes the way we look at queries. This changes the way we gather our metrics. This changes the way we can respond to the metrics that we gather. You get really big and go in, pull out the query text, pull out the plan. I'll talk about that cast thing in just a second. The execution type, the number of counts of execution, the average duration, the min duration, average CPU, I/O, reads, writes, joining the Query Store query to the Query Store text to the Query Store plan and the Query Store runtime stats, and do it for a particular object. Huzzah. Pull out a single object. Now, why did I do the cast? Because Microsoft is actually quite clever. They know that their XML data type has a limitation. So they store these execution plans, which can be quite big, as text. And then all you have to do is cast it to XML, which doesn't cost you anything. Well, okay, it costs a little bit of processing, but if we run this query and the results come back, and the one object I have has got multiple execution plans, multiple statements, it's been used multiple times, multiple ways, mainly because we were doing a whole bunch of playing with it yesterday. We did multiple recompiles with this one store procedure. We changed all kinds of different ways that it behaved, so we got different execution plans for different queries as we modified that one store procedure over and over again. And we can look at that, those plans. And so we can pick and choose. Now, see, there's the plan that you guys are familiar with. Go away. Uh-oh. There we go. There's the same plan you're still familiar with. Hang on one second. There were several of these, so we need to give me 1 second to find out which one it was. There, no, still the same one. It's actually not the same plan. It's actually different plans, but it looks the same. One more second. I know there's one in here. We're going to find it. It's always the last place you look. Let's hope. Everybody's fingers are crossed. Damn. Well, okay. Watch this. This is Grant cheating. Hang on. Oh, wait. Hang on 1 second. Let's flash through a couple of things real quick. Right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pull that out of cache. Ha-ha. And then we're going to rerun it. And, hey. I wonder if plan forcing's on. Let's go look. Let you guys check with me. Come on. Uh-oh, Zoom, it's doing its thing. Hang on 1 second. We cheat because we always have a way to get things done. Aha! Okay, so I must have clicked a button yesterday when we were doing demos. See this last little bit right here? Use plan is true. We've gotten way ahead of ourselves. This is the last demo of the day. It is doing plan forcing right now. So it's actually forcing the plan. So we need to remove that. Let's go over here. So we're going to, like I said, we're a little ahead of ourselves, but we're going to find out which plan it's using and remove it. Okay, so 2-2. There we go. Now what we should see, ha-ha, yay, a nested loops thing for the same plan, for the same query. Woo, I feel better, not only because I got it back to where it needed to be, but I could explain it to you. The worst thing in the world is when your demos go wrong and you don't know why. All right, scrolling back up, because we skipped a bunch of stuff. Cool, there's where we were. Awesome. All right, so like I said, we can get the runtime stats, we can get the context setting stats, and here's where things get a little bit interesting and weird. It's Microsoft. They give with one hand, they take away with the other. Joking, I'm joking. this is awesome stuff. But there's a couple little gotchas, and this is the one gotcha that I really want to emphasize. If you want to find a query, they've provided us a function, FN statement SQL handle from SQL statement, so we can get the SQL handle from a SQL statement. It's pretty straightforward. All I have to do is run it and pass in the value SQL text and null. And so I could, you know, in this case, I'm going to combine query stats with my existing values so I can pull out all the queries from my query stats and find all those SQL handles. For things that don't have an object ID, because if I have an object ID, I can just pull it back that way. Let's go. Shouldn't be that slow. There it goes. So you can see I've got some information back. I've got the text, I've got the query ID, I've got the SQL handle. And so I'm getting that information back, and that's great. And you're thinking like, okay, this is boring. I can get queries back out of my system anytime I want. So what if I do this? We're going to run a query. This is going to be a little ad hoc query we're going to run all on our own. I'm going to execute that query. And so now I'm going to select star from the query store text where the text is equal to the query that I just ran. Everyone agree? Cool. So we get that back. Ta-da! Grant can run a query. Woohoo! Nobody's excited. Good, because you shouldn't be. That's really stupid and boring. Let's do this query. And I'll even show you the execution plan real quick. The execution plan, come on. Let's get the properties up. There we go. Oops. And ZoomIt is acting funny again. There we go. The execution plan has done simple parameterization. So we have a parameter list now. The query that we ran was parameterized. So that means that query got modified by the optimizer. Everyone okay with that? Great. So knowing that, let's do this. We're going to query from the query store to retrieve my information. Oops, no data. So what happened? Well, it was parameterized, right? So this is where this beautiful FN statement SQL handle from SQL statement comes from. Good stuff. Now we're excited. So we pull this in, pass in that information, including passing it in as we originally wrote it with the value there, not trying to substitute the at one or any of that stuff. And now it retrieves information all the various times I've run this, so you can see it. It retrieved that information for me. It found that data. Yay. That's a win. And now here comes the loss. If you look at the query for my stored procedure, remember, the stored procedure SQL text says at city in varchar 30. Well, I didn't write my code like that. As a matter of fact, if I wrote my code like that, it wouldn't compile. So what's going on is that the parameter values that you're passing into the stored procedure as part of the statement are getting stored with the SQL text, which means if I try to do this, I don't get any data back. And that is my query. So then I can try it like this, pass it into that function, and again, no data comes back. Because that function only works for dynamic ad hoc queries. It does not work with stored procedures. And so with the stored procedures, what are we going to do? Like. Yeah, okay, I'm the only one not excited. No, I'm kidding. We have to run a like statement. Now, understand, is that the end of the world? No. Is it a little kind of weird behavior and kind of glitchy? Yeah. Can we just use, object ID instead? Yay. Okay, so we can go right to there. Everything is fine. Let's see. We've already done that. You've already seen that because we messed things up earlier. So we can just go right here and pull it out by object ID. Come on. There we go. And the results come back. And in this case, we see two, because I'm not combining it with the text to see all the different variations I had. We're just looking at the two different kinds of plans there are. The one that I was forcing originally and the new one. And then obviously we can take control of it. We can pull out the one we want. We can say reset the execution stats. I'm not going to do that right now. We can pull out the information we want and remove the query completely from the query plan if we want to. So, you know, again, it's just options. I'm just laying out some options for you. It's not that you have to follow any of these things. It's just there's various ways you're going to want to work through it. And then, let's remove the query. And then you can just individually remove the plan. So if there's a plan, you're like, this was a screw up. There's no way this is ever going back into the system. I don't even want it to be there anymore. I don't want anybody to accidentally click use plan in the GUI or use this plan in T-SQL. I don't want them to see it, know about it. We screwed up. We're getting it out of the system just so no one can ever see it again. Burn it. SP query store remove plan, and it goes away. It's nice and simple. All right. Let's go back to the slides. Any questions on the basic behavior? Okay, we'll get into some of the advanced stuff in a bit. So monitoring. We've got a whole gigantic, enormous slew of extended events. So you can capture all kinds of events as they're going by. Remember, we talked about regressions right at the very beginning. The idea that for a given query, it's behaving a certain way and then it slows down, probably because of a recompile with different statistics or changes to the data or bad parameter sniffing or God knows what. But we got a different plan, it slowed down, and we have a regression occurring. We have an extended event to capture regressions, so you can monitor when you get regressions. We've got extended events for when new plans get created. We've got extended events for all kinds of stuff all around Query Store. It's huge. I'll show you the list. We're not going to dig into it real far. We have Query Store specific weight statistics. Who's using weight stats in their monitoring and tuning? And if it's not the whole room, I'm very unhappy. It should be the whole room in this case. Only half of you raised your hand, so the other half is asleep. That's okay. Everyone should be using weight statistics to monitor query tuning. It's just a natural way to get these things done. We've got weights specific to Query Store. So if you are in a situation where you are seeing impact from Query Store, it's going to evidence itself readily. You're not going to be going, I don't know if it's running slow or not. I don't know if Query Store is hurting us or not. Let me turn it off just in case. No. Check the weight stats. If it's bad, you can fix it. Now, in-memory OLTP is exactly the same. Well, you know, except it's not persisted in the same way. You've got to use XTP control query exec stats to get it. You've got the plan forcing can fail with the in-memory store procedures. You don't get memory grants, and you need to recompile every single thing to capture metrics. Other than that, it's exactly the same. SysOS weight stats. Look for QDS, Query Data Store. And we get the weights back. Number of waiting tasks count. I mean, you'll notice none. Or a small number and some small values. Again, none of these is a problem on my system. This is, again, a test bed. It's not a full production system. There's not millions of queries running here. But you get the idea. This is easy to gather this metrics. It incorporates directly into what you already do. I know that Paul Randall's already updated his scripts that he uses for Query Store. Anybody using Paul's stuff? Great, great query. I recommend it. If you're not using it, just go get it. He's already updated it to support Query Store. this is ready to go. So your full monitoring and everything in terms of tracking, you know, Query Store itself is ready. Now the extended events are over here. Create a new session. And yeah, I'll zoom in. We go to the events page and we say query. Store. And look, quite a few, more than a couple. If you want to monitor the behavior, if you want to monitor the internals, you want to monitor how it's doing what it's doing, ta-da, you can keep track of it. There's no surprises. Nothing is, you know, hidden away. You're not worrying about, well, God, what's Microsoft doing to my system? Track it. Take a look and see what's going on. Further, when you see plans getting removed, you can track them. When you see plans getting added, you can track it. I already mentioned that you can track the regressions. So, for example, there's a new service pack out. You've been running Query Store for a few weeks. You run the service pack. You get the upgrade done. You go in and you have monitoring turned on with extended events. If a regression occurs, you get alerted. You don't even have to sit there and check stuff. You just have the system tell you when things have changed. How many people are completely and utterly lazy? So 5 minutes of work to set up monitoring, and then I don't have to do anything. Awesome. I'm in. All right, GUI. Not a fan of the GUI. There's nothing wrong with the GUI. Don't get me wrong. I'm not critiquing the GUI. I'm just not a fan of it because I've been doing so much stuff with T-SQL. I've gotten very comfortable querying to get what I need rather than going into here. But let's go ahead and show you. That's my in-memory test database. There's AdventureWorks. You'll notice I've already got Query Store right there. It's expanded out. You guys see that? That might be a little bit small, a little bit bigger there. So what we've got is a number of reports already built in. We've got tracked queries. We can turn queries on for tracking. We've got top resource consuming queries, overall resource consumption, and regressed queries. So queries that have slowed down because of some recompile event or something. Now, if I were to double click on one of these, it opens up the report. And we're immediately seeing all the way the data is put together. All the stuff I've been querying is displayed in a graphical format. It's great. So the queries that have been running slow, you'll notice there's the one that's outrageously high. And if we look at it, we get to see the plans over time, and we get to see whether or not, you know, what those plans changed at. So we can go in here and click on each thing and see what different plans are running for that query. Ooh, cool. We can shift click. And if we want to, where is it? Compare the two execution plans. Not a sound. Wow. I don't know what. I think I passed out the first time I saw this, so. In a swoon. Come on, that's amazing. We get to compare the plans side by side. Not that switching window back and forth thing that I do. I'm the only one who does that, aren't I? Okay. You don't have to do that anymore. It's pretty cool. And it's all built right in. There's nothing extra that you have to pay for. It's all in Management Studio. It's all there. You can make it happen. Now, remember earlier that we had the plan forcing thing? It's not hard. You don't have to write T-SQL. You can just click right there. Now, personally, I think that that's wonderful. I think it's a great thing. I'm very excited about it. I also think that that button, that particular button right there in SQL Server 2016 and on Azure SQL Database, and fingers crossed, maybe 2014, is going to be the single most misused button inside of SQL Server. People are going to apply, oh yeah, force plan. How many different plans have you looked at? One? Forced plan.
Query ran slower, forced plan.
It's a Tuesday, forced plan. It's just, I guarantee it's just going to be all over the map on that. So, you know, keep an eye on it and watch my prediction come true. It's you know, it's going to happen. So you can see the resource consumption queries. You can take a look at them. You can see the execution count, duration, all that fun stuff. You can click on it. Again, it draws you in, shows you if there's multiple plans, shows you what its behavior over time. This is immediately useful on every system that we have under management. It's just a question of whether or not you can afford the extra storage space, whether or not you can afford the extra CPU, because you're going to be able to put this to work. There's no reason why not. Let me close it down, get that out of the way, get that out of the way. Okay, cool. Now we go back to slides. So we've already talked about it, but let's reemphasize it and talk about it just a little bit more, the plan forcing aspect. So we know that the query optimization process does what it does normally. No changes, nothing surprising there. You don't need to worry about it. Nothing you have to turn on, turn off, whatever. Query execution is going to occur exactly as you expect it to. Nothing you have to turn on, nothing you have to turn off, no surprises. The asynchronous process that is capturing all this glorious data that lets us play with plan store and the runtime statistics is going to happen, you know, asynchronously. As plans get compiled or recompiled, we can choose to force the plan. Now, when we force the plan, as you already saw, that's what's going to get used. Regardless of what you do, you pull the plan out of cache, fine. It's going to do a new compile. When it does a new compile, part of the process is it's going to look at the execution plan in the plan cache. It's going to look into the query store and find, hey, that plan's already there, and it's been marked to use this particular plan. Now, assuming that plan hasn't gone out of date, it's not no longer applicable to that query, or you know, it's not there's not some issue, it will absolutely use that plan. Again, as you already saw, no further action required. And notice, it is a simple T-SQL statement. Who here has done plan guides and used plan forcing, capturing the XML and spitting out the XML into a file or into your clipboard so you can then copy and paste that into a plan guide? One hand? Wow, you guys don't know how good you've got it when you do this. That, did you have fun? He shook his head, no, he did not have fun. It was horrible. It's a horrible process. It's painful. Not fun at all. Okay, but now, oops, now we have plan forcing. As you already saw in the GUI, click that button. Or you run a T-SQL statement. And immediately it's going to make that so that you can force that plan. No questions asked. Let's go back and play with that just a little bit. Now, a couple of things about that, real quick, just before we play with the code. One, the full, complete optimization process is not run. There is a short circuit to it. I don't know exactly, precisely where it occurs inside the optimization process, but it won't do a full optimization. It will, however, it will count as a compile or it will count as a recompile. So things get fun. Has anybody used the recompile hint, query hint? Good, most of the audience. Cool. I agree. Me too. I use it all the time in the appropriate place, I hope. It's a fine hint used appropriately. But it's a new world. Who here used it for bad parameter sniffing? Anybody? A few people? Cool. Me too. So you're forcing the compiler to say, use a new plan every time. Now, what happens when you, or more likely, because it's not going to be you guys, because you're all educated, you're on top of it, but the junior DBA who didn't show up today goes in there and goes, use plan, awesome. Hits use plan, and you've got recompile on the query. What happens? It's going to go into recompile every single time because you told it to. And then it's going to circumvent that recompile at some point and use the plan that you told it to use. You're still going to pay for the recompile, at least partially, and you're still going to get recompile, you know, counts, but you're going to be using the plan over and over again. So either you need to remove the recompile or you got to undo the use plan. Like I said, this is a glorious, wonderful, amazing tool. I'm very, very, very excited about it, but it's also opening up a can of worms for management. We've got additional work in front of us. Who's excited now? Oh, that's for doing in memory. I'm just going to skip that. Plan forcing. You guys have actually already seen this in action, but let's go through it again because I like it. So this plan right now is the different plan because we ran that for Mentor. Mentor has one row, and so SQL Server says, well, for one row, yeah, I'm still doing an index scan, but I can do a nested loop join and a seek to retrieve this data. It's very efficient for one row. Cool. But in this case, if we take a look, we've got not one row, but 434 rows. Now, 434 rows, this particular execution plan is not terribly efficient at all. It actually is quite slow for 434 rows. So what we've got here is a situation where there's data skew in my statistics. If I run for most of the data inside of the at city, which is the parameter value, the city column inside of address, most of them are 30 rows or less. And so a nested loop join works great. London is an outlier. London has skew. London represents data skew. It's 400 rows. And so we are in a situation where we can get bad parameter sniffing. So you just have to decide which is more important, the average number, that small value, or the big number, the London value. Is London getting called a lot, and so we should make sure London runs fast and the others can run a little slow? Or do we want to make sure that the others run as fast as possible and London can run slow? I don't know. It's your system. You're going to have to figure that out. But once you've decided, Query Store is going to give you what you need. Where are we? There we go. So I'm going to pull that back out of cache now. All I'm doing, by the way, is I'm declaring a plan handle. I'm going to query stats, SQL text, passing in the SQL handle. I've done it. If you'd noticed, I've done it multiple ways. In this case, I'm using text, like, and create procedure. But I could just do object ID. Be actually a better way to do it. I just like to bounce around between different methods when I'm doing demos, just to show you that there's various ways to get this done. But anyway, I pull the plan handle out, and then I run dbcc freeproc cache with a plan handle, and it just pulls the one plan out of cache. And we all do that regularly, right? We don't run dbcc freeproc cache on production. Right? Good. Whoops. Helps if you declare the variable. Helps if you run the whole query. There we go. So that's pulled out of cache. So now if I run this, as we saw earlier, we're still going to end up with the mentor plan, which is the one row plan. And if I were to pull it back out of cache again, if I were to run the whole query correctly again, it's going to pull back that, and we get the execution plan that's the one that we're used to, which is that merge join plan. Okay? Everyone all right with that? Cool. So that's an example of the possibility of bad parameter sniffing occurring. So now I go in there, and I can run my query and look for that object ID, SP address by city. And the results I get back is I've got the query ID, the query plan ID, and I've got the query text ID, and then I've got the plan ID. And so you see there's three different plans. And that's because I've run this multiple ways, and it's compiled different times in different ways. But you can see the average compile duration is very consistent. This thing's pretty, you know, normal operation. And we can click on the plans and figure out which one we want. once we're ready, I can pull, this is demo me pulling it back out of cash and changing it. But I can force the plan. So what we had was, what are we like, 432 or 4, what is that number? I can't even see it. 420 or 432. I'm not wearing my glasses here. Pick a number. 420, I heard it. Okay, so we're going to do 420. Done. It's all we have to do. It's not hard. Again, remember the button click? This is the equivalent. It's simple, simple, simple T-SQL statement. We switch back over to the text. Let's go ahead and run the whole query. And now, we'll run it for Mentor. I'm not even sure which plan we pick, so we'll run it for Mentor and see what we get. Oh, we got the Mentor plan. But like I said, if I look at the properties, it's going to tell me that we are using a plan. Now, it's not giving me the plan ID and all that other stuff. I'm going to have to go in there and dig that out myself. However, I've got it right there inside the execution plan. So if you're wondering, God, why am I getting this plan over and over again like I had earlier? You can find out. You just go right in here and take a look. You take a look at the plan. You find that says, oh, it says use plan. Hey, guess what? Query store is forcing this plan. I need to get in there and make some changes. So it's that easy. Now let's do this real quick. It's 420, right? Let's pull it back out. Where is it? Unforced plan. 420. Awesome. So now, next time I go to do demos, I won't break everything. Okay, cool. So hopefully we hit these goals. You guys have got some understanding of the way SQL Server is doing this, what query store is, the way it's work, and why Grant is so incredibly excited. Please get in touch if you have questions after today. We've got 2 whole minutes left. So are there any questions over what we've covered? There's more detail on this. Absolutely. You can tell I glossed over a few bits and pieces. There's a lot of drill down available. But what did we not cover adequately today? Anybody? Yes. How does use plan correspond to plan guides? How does it correspond to plan guides? Interesting question. I don't know the specifics. I can tell you this. This is very, very simple, and plan guides are very, very hard. I suspect internally there is a difference in the way it applies it, because if you look at the execution plan, when you have a plan guide, you will see that there's a plan guide applied to the plan. When you look at what's going on from the query store, all you will see is use plan. So internally, I think there's a difference in how it's applied, but also I think internally it's probably almost identical the way it actually gets resolved. Yes? Which mechanism has the precedence? Oh my gosh, great question. I don't know. Wow. Okay, I got a blog post out of this. That's awesome. For those who were in my session yesterday, they know I'm pulling out my notebook because I write down my questions. I will answer that later. I actually don't know. I suspect it's use plan, but we're going to find out. I'll let you know. Okay, 1 minute left. Any other questions? Yes. Can you transfer the query store without data between the databases? Not to my knowledge. To my knowledge, it's internal systems tables. You cannot write to them directly. Could you pull it out and write it to your own table someplace else? Yes, you could do that because you can query it, so you can pull all the data out. But you couldn't write then take that data and write it to the query store on another database. You'd have to do a backup and restore to do that. But then you'd get the data. Of course, you could truncate everything in production first and then, wait, okay, no, don't do that. It's a good idea, but it's at the time. Any other questions? We've got another couple seconds. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Can you actually show all the execution spans from stored procedure for one stored procedure?
Can you show all the execution plans for one stored procedure? So like it's multi-statement stored procedure. Can you show all the execution plans for that one stored procedure? Yes, absolutely. I keep it simple on here and have a single statement stored proc, but yeah, absolutely you can do that. You query by object ID, you'll get all the execution plans. Cool. So that's all the time we have questions for. I'll definitely be around afterwards if somebody wants to ask some more questions. Other than that, by the way, it's a real honor and a privilege that you guys let me come over to your country and speak at this session, and I appreciate it. Thank you.